Who support this NPR station.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from K-State Day of Giving, a 24-hour event celebrating the impact of K-State, Wednesday, April 8th. More information about K-State Day of Giving at k-state.edu.
76 degrees in Lawrence, 75 in Chanute. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 in Junction City, lots of other frequencies too. They are all listed for you at our full-service website, kansaspublicradio.org, where we are streaming KPR 1 and KPR 2 24 hours a day.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Natural History Museum, hosting K-Pop Pollinator Palooza, featuring family-friendly activities with butterflies, bees, and origami insects. Sunday, April 19th, 1:30 to 3:30. More at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Stay with us. News headlines coming up in approximately 11 minutes. Then, once we get to just about 6:40 tonight, most of the U.S. was unusually warm last month.
This was an astonishing heat event in that a large swath of the country experienced the warmest temperatures that have ever occurred in any March.
In many western states, the lack of snow has led to drought that has set up conditions for wildfires and possible water shortages. A closer look coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Manhattan Arts Center, presenting Radium Girls, inspired by true events, a story of young women who fought for justice after being exposed to radium in a watch dial factory. Running April 10th through 19th. Tickets at manhattanarts.org.
KPR thanks our many sustainers and members who continue to support KPR during these difficult times. We wouldn't be able to provide quality news and music programming without gifts from listeners like you. During our spring membership Hive Drive, KPR was kind of overwhelmed by the number of pledges we received, but we still need additional support. If you're able, please consider giving a gift at kansaspublicradio.org. It's 76 degrees in Topeka. It's 6:20.
This is NPR News.
A lot of people who buy their own health insurance on the federal and state exchanges saw premium hikes this year. To keep costs down, many switched to a high deductible health plan.
I didn't know what a deductible was, so I just went with what was cheap. And now I have regret.
Hear about tips on how to navigate these plans tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you will hear. Matthew Algio will be your local KPR host.
Support for KPR comes from Low Maintenance Landscape, designing long-lasting landscapes with native plants that thrive in this area and require less maintenance. Project portfolio, plant library, and contact information at lowmaintenancelandscape.net.
Up next, we have news headlines. It is 76 degrees in Lawrence, 77 in Atchison. It is 6:30. For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican U.S. Senator Jerry Moran says there should be more information available to Congress and to Kansans about the war in Iran. Moran says the two-week ceasefire is something of a relief, but he thinks this is the time for more transparency.
Where are we? How did we get here? What have we accomplished? What are the goals? The reason I'm looking for information is to make judgment calls, but also so that my constituents know more about this.
Moran chairs the Veterans Affairs Committee. He says more information could help make it clear whether the military action is worth the cost. The war has caused fuel and fertilizer costs to go up for Kansas farmers. Moran says farmers are not prepared for another financial challenge. They're already facing high production costs and low profits. Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has vetoed a property tax change approved by lawmakers, saying it does not do enough. Stephen Coranda has this report.
The bill, supported by Republican leaders, would try to limit the growth of property taxes by allowing 10% of registered voters to block a new local budget with a protest petition. Kelly says the bill puts too many limits on local governments who need to create their own budgets. And she says it could make it harder for communities and school districts to get financing for large projects. Kelly is offering her own plan that would create incentives for local governments to keep property taxes low, and it would create a larger exemption for state taxes on homes. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Stephen Coranda.
Lawmakers are returning to the State House tomorrow. Republican leaders criticized Kelly's veto. They say they're going to continue to look for ways for taxpayers to have more control over property tax rates. And in-state tuition for immigrants without documentation could come to an end in Kansas pending a vote in the state legislature. Republicans passed a bill this year to end the policy, but it was vetoed by Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. GOP leaders will try to override that veto when they return to Topeka tomorrow, but they are facing an uphill battle. Some Republican lawmakers have joined Democrats in criticizing the bill. Republicans will also try to override a veto on a bill to expand tax credits for families of children who attend private schools. You are listening to KPR.
Support for NPR.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you will hear. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence as well. Many other frequencies too, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Casey Farm School in Kansas City, Kansas, offering education programs including school field trips, summer camps, paid apprenticeships, and volunteer opportunities. Details at caseyfarmschool.org.
Thanks for joining us. We have a bit more All Things Considered still to come. We are with you till 7 o'clock tonight. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, up next we have news headlines at 7:01, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music, followed by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next is the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from Panda Pediatrics, providing pediatric primary care, mental health, dental, and a walk-in clinic for children from birth to age 21 at one Lawrence location. More information at pandapeds.com.
30% chance of rain tonight, 50% chance of showers and storms tomorrow. 76 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Years sharing what works in schools today and working to inspire new ways to learn tomorrow. More at edutopia.org. From Odoo, offering an all-in-one business management platform with the goal of making work easier. From CRM to accounting, inventory, and more. Learn more about Odoo at odoo.com. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
With Morning Edition from NPR News, you don't have to wonder where your information is coming from, because we tell you. Get your news straight from the source every weekday.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition, a great way to start your day in an informed way.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming pianist Oliver Moore, whose repertoire spans Bach, Mozart, Brahms, and beyond. Sunday, April 12th, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets at lead.ku.edu.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KAND and KAND HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have news headlines followed by a quick check of the heavens. Stardate comes your way immediately following the NPR news, then 2 hours of classical music. Stay tuned.
Reach an engaged and influential audience by becoming a KPR corporate sponsor. It's an efficient, effective way to recognize your business and support public media. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a 30% chance of showers and a low in the lower 50s. There's a 50% chance of showers and storms tomorrow. Highs tomorrow in the mid-70s, a 90% chance of showers and storms tomorrow night with lows in the mid-50s. It's 75 degrees in Lawrence and it is 7:01. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Lebanon has declared a national day of mourning after Israeli attacks killed more than 250 people today, according to the country's Civil Defense Department. The violence has marred a two-week ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran in the wider Middle East war. NPR's Lauren Frayer reports from Beirut.
Chaos in central Beirut, where Israeli warplanes struck without warning, including near the city's seaside Corniche promenade. The capital has absorbed many of the more than a million people displaced by Israeli attacks farther south, including Rana Dimashq, who 6 weeks ago fled Beirut's southern suburbs, where Hezbollah has offices. She stayed up all night in the vacant building where her family has been sheltering and rejoiced at news of a ceasefire.
Yes, we thought that we will go home, but then the bombs appeared.
She says the building shook with explosions nearby. Israel says it struck 100 Hezbollah targets in just 10 minutes. The International Committee of the Red Cross says it's outraged by such attacks on densely populated urban areas. Lauren Frayer, NPR News, Beirut.
California's Supreme Court today ordered the Riverside County Sheriff, who's also a Republican candidate for governor, to halt a controversial investigation into the 2025 election. From member station KQED, Guy Marzorati reports the sheriff has seized hundreds of thousands of ballots.
Sheriff Chad Bianco says he's investigating voter fraud, but he hasn't publicly detailed any crime. And Riverside County election officials say no fraud has occurred. In their order, the state Supreme Court's six justices ordered Bianco to, quote, pause the investigation, which Bianco says he's done voluntarily. The court agreed to hear a challenge from California Attorney General Rob Bonta, who argues Bianco is overstepping his authority as sheriff. Bianco is a leading Republican candidate in polling ahead of California's June 2nd primary. For NPR News, I'm Guy Marzorati in San Jose.
Measles cases in Utah continue to climb. The state has confirmed 583 cases of the highly contagious disease since the outbreak started last summer. Sean Higgins with member station KUER has more.
State epidemiologist Dr. Leisha Nolan says while the outbreak started in a small community along the Utah-Arizona border, it's quickly spreading.
It is now hitting people from all different areas of the state with all different practices from all different kinds of communities. It isn't limited to any specific group anymore.
According to the state health department, more than 80% of cases are among unvaccinated people. Nolan says it's hard to know when the outbreak could slow down, but warmer weather could help as people spend less time inside. For NPR News, I'm Sean Higgins in Salt Lake City.
Stock markets surged worldwide today. The S&P 500 leapt 2.5%. The Dow and NASDAQ both jumped more than 2.75%. This is NPR.
Stardate April 8th. A long-distance visitor might put in a good showing in the early morning sky this month, and astronomers will be paying close attention. Comet C2025R3 Pan-STARRS was discovered in September. It probably is falling inward from the Oort cloud. That's a huge reservoir of balls of rock and ice that enwraps the solar system. This one might have been nudged inward by the gravity of a passing star. Objects in the Oort cloud were born when the planets were taking shape. Jupiter's gravity hurled them far into space. In the cold and dark, those bodies have changed very little for billions of years. As Pan-STARRS approaches the Sun, some of its ice vaporizes. That releases bits of rock and dirt. The debris forms a cloud around the comet, plus a long glowing tail. Studying this material provides insights into the birth of Earth and the other planets. The comet will pass closest to the Sun on April 20th. It'll be closest to Earth a week later, 44 million miles away. If it survives the Sun's heat, it then will rocket back into deep space, not to return for thousands of years, if ever. Pan-STARRS is low in the east before and during dawn. Because we record in advance, we can't tell you how bright it looks or how bright it'll get. We can tell you that it will zip across the Great Square of Pegasus next week, then move into Pisces. By then, it will appear so close to the Sun that it'll be tough to spot, with or without optical aid. I'm Billy Henry.
Good evening, I'm Steve Seal, sitting in for Jake Armerding tonight, and we're going to enjoy a cheerful and charming ballet from American composer William Grant Still coming up. And I think cheerful and charming is kind of the default tone of the hour, in fact, coming up. Probably something we could all use right about now. Prague Waltzes by Dvorak, played here by the Budapest Festival Orchestra, led by Ivan Fischer.
Thank you.
Ivan Fischer and the Budapest Festival Orchestra with a set of Prague waltzes by Antonín Dvořák. Our music tonight is supported by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination. Viking offers a small ship experience with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com. That's the OK Factor, Olivia Dierks and Carla Peters, cello and violin, and one of their tunes called Getting Hitched.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Hedge Apple, offering furniture, lighting, rugs, and decor. Located at 644 Locust Street in North Lawrence, new arrivals added weekly, open Monday through Saturday. Store hours and more information at hedgeapple.com. And the Lawrence Art Guild, presenting the all-members Spring Show, starting April 10th with an opening reception 5 to 7 p.m. at Landmark National Bank on 6th Street in Lawrence. Open Monday through Friday until June 26th.
Here's a look at the Cape. It's 76 and partly cloudy. Wind is from the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 76 and partly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather for Northeast Kansas.
When we say something is a cakewalk, we mean it's easy. The expression piece of cake kind of comes from the same place. Well, a cakewalk, originally a real activity, I guess it still is, actually, kind of like musical chairs. Everybody gets up, walks around in a circle with a bunch of numbers marked on the ground below their feet, and then when the music stops, if you're standing on the correct number, you win a prize, which was very often a cake. Well, a cakewalk is at the center of the action in the ballet Miss Sally's Party by William Grant Still, and this is the Plymouth Music Series Orchestra, led by Philip Brunel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sally's Party, the name of that ballet score by American composer William Grant Still. We heard Philip Brunel leading the Plymouth Music Series Orchestra.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from K-State Day of Giving, a 24-hour event celebrating the impact of K-State, Wednesday, April 8th. More information about K-State Day of Giving at k-state.edu. And Emporia State University Choirs, presenting She Sings, a Women in Music Festival, Saturday, May 2nd at Beach Music Hall in Emporia. Details at emporia.link/she-sings.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 74 and cloudy. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 74 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
So Haydn, often referred to as the father of the symphony, not really accurate, well, in fact, not accurate at all. He did sire a lot of them, 104 to be exact, but he did not invent the form of the symphony. He did very much, though, come up with the idea of the string quartet, the grouping of two violins, a viola, and a cello. And he wrote a lot of those, too, not exactly 104 of them. But I think probably in the 60s is how many quartets Haydn wrote. Listen to me, probably. How many decades have I been doing this? But we'll listen to the 33rd of those tonight in D major with a Doric quartet.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
at number 33 by Haydn. I was sort of wondering aloud earlier, you think I should know these things, exactly how many string quartets Haydn wrote. It's not as well known as how many symphonies he wrote, which is 104. 68 string quartets he wrote, down from 83. Yes, they used to think that he wrote more, but now they know some of those were...
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 74 and cloudy. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 74 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
If you'll allow me something personal for just a moment. It's been a year now since my mom passed, and this was one of her absolute favorite pieces of music. And she always listened, and any time that I would play something that was a favorite of hers, be it this or Rachmaninoff, she would send me a text. Even at the age of 95, she would say, "Thank you for the swan." Well, we'll enjoy the entire Carnival of the Animals tonight by Saint-Saëns. Just ahead.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth says the U.S. scored a decisive military victory over Iran, but he did not say how several key issues would be settled, like the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, as NPR's Greg Myrie reports.
Defense Secretary Hegseth, speaking at a Pentagon News conference, said the U.S. achieved all its military objectives.
Less than 6 weeks, clear mission, decisive action, overwhelming firepower.
Hegseth was asked what the military would do during the two-week ceasefire now in place.
We'll be hanging around. We're not going anywhere. We're going to make sure Iran complies with this ceasefire.
But several key issues will have to be negotiated, such as the Strait of Hormuz, which Iran still controls, and the fate of Iran's nuclear program, which still includes highly enriched uranium. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Democrats will force a war powers vote to put Republicans on the record over the U.S. and Iran conflict. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports.
Democrats started forcing the Senate votes to limit President Trump's war powers before they left for a two-week recess. Now, Democratic Leader Schumer says they'll try again when Congress returns next week.
Congress must reassert its authority, especially at this dangerous moment. No president, Democrat or Republican, should take this country to war alone.
Schumer argued the conflict was a, quote, colossal failure that has made global conditions worse for the U.S. and its allies. Democrats need to build support on the GOP side. Only one Senate Republican, Kentucky's Rand Paul, has supported past attempts to limit Trump's military actions in Iran. Claudia DeSales, NPR News.
Stocks surged and oil prices dropped after the ceasefire, but as NPR's Rafael Nam reports, there's still some caution about what might happen next.
Both U.S. crude futures and Brent, the global benchmark for oil, fell sharply, while all three major stock indexes rallied. But this has been an unpredictable conflict. For investors, the critical aspect will be whether ships finally start sailing through the Strait of Hormuz. But even if the strait is reopened and a long-term ceasefire is achieved, investors are mindful that it will take some time for the global energy market to recover. And the effects on the global economy will likely linger. Gas prices in the U.S., for example, are already pushing up inflation. And they may not come down significantly anytime soon. Not until there's more certainty, Rafael Nam, NPR News.
President Trump met with NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte today. In a social media post tonight, Trump said in all caps, quote, NATO wasn't there when we needed them, and they won't be there if we need them again. Trump has repeatedly criticized NATO allies for not joining the war in Iran and has threatened to leave the alliance. This is NPR News from Washington.
Teachers are skipping school, not just for a day, but for a career.
Hi, my name's Chris Carter. I'm a PhD candidate at the School of Education and Human Sciences at the University of Kansas, and my research looks at teacher retention for U.S. public school teachers.
There's a problem when it comes to teacher retention. What did you find?
Well, data consistently shows that 50% of novice teachers, teachers within their first 5 years, will leave the profession.
You looked at 15 different indicators. What stood out?
We found three significant indicators. Teacher agency, the sense that they have control of their classroom, the relationship they have with their students' parents, and their sense of efficacy, so their confidence in their own teaching ability.
Oddly, teacher pay wasn't a significant issue. As a former teacher yourself, what needs to be done?
We think it's a bigger issue of the professionalism that is perceived in the teaching career currently. You know, you mentioned pay satisfaction, but that's just a component of professionalism. You know, it's also the respect that comes with the role. It's the autonomy of being in charge of your day-to-day operations, and we think that's a bigger force of the workforce wanting to leave.
This research will soon be published, but how else have you shared your results?
I was fortunate enough to present my research in Topeka to some legislators. Hopefully we can identify some policies that can change to increase the professionalism of teachers and try as a society to view teachers as experts in their field and in pedagogy, and hopefully that'll lead to more teachers wanting to stay in the classroom.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Fuchik. Good evening, I'm Steve Seal. Sitting in tonight, and we'll be enjoying some music about animals coming up this hour, mostly, at least. And I'm thinking swans in particular, so we'll enjoy that movement and all the rest from Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals, music of Elena Katz-Chernin, and hear from Tchaikovsky. You gotta have some Tchaikovsky swan music. The waltz from Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky, as played there by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir George Schulte. The origin of the story of Tchaikovsky's ballet, Swan Lake, remain uncertain. It seems to have been based on kind of an amalgamation of Russian and German folktales. When it comes to the Australian composer Elena Katz-Chernin, though, her ballet, Wild Swans, is very much based on the Hans Christian Andersen story of the same name, The Wild Swans, the tale of Eliza, a princess whose wicked witch stepmother has changed all of Eliza's 11 brothers into swans. And this is Eliza's aria from Wild Swans by Elena Katz-Chernin. Eliza's aria from the ballet Wild Swans by the contemporary composer Elena Katz-Chernin.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 99.5 Manhattan, and always online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music comes from the Dole Institute of Politics. Hosting historian and author Rick Atkinson at the Dole Lecture, April 13th, 7 p.m. at the Lead Center of Kansas. Tickets required. More at doleinstitute.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 74 and cloudy. Wind is from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 74 and cloudy.
That's KPR weather.
The swan in Camille Saint-Saëns' work, The Carnival of the Animals, was one of my late mother's favorite pieces of music, and she was so captivated by it that she often seemed to love it as much as she did. I think the most important thing to me was always knowing she found it to be so beautiful and that she would always, always just stop whatever she was doing when it came on to listen. Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals is ironically filled with much more kind of irreverent, sometimes quite silly music outside of the movement depicting the swan, be it the tortoises or the wild donkeys and the elephant and the kangaroos. We'll hear from pianists Michael Rudy and Simon Barto here with the Orchestra of Toulouse, conducted by Michel Plesson.
Thank you.
Carnival of the Animals by Saint-Saëns. Michel Rudy and Simon Barto, pianos. And Michel Plesson conducted the Orchestra of Toulouse. From the Animal Requiem by contemporary composer Rachel Fuller, The Prayer of St. Francis, with Robert Ziegler leading the Royal Philharmonic and Chamber Choir of London.
NPR brings you to where the stories are.
Our colleague Leila Fadel is in Syria learning some of the secrets of a government.
His family's farm is mostly corn and soybeans. He's also president of the North Dakota Soybean Growers Association.
An exhibit at a museum in Nuuk, Greenland's capital. Our co-host Juana Summers takes us there.
This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 71 and mostly cloudy. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 71 and mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Nothing really animal-related in this next work. But why not? The Serenade for Winds, an early work by a young Richard Strauss, is played here by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, led by Frederick Fennell. Young Richard Strauss, his Serenade for Winds, Opus 7, played there by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, conducted by Frederick Fennell. I'm Steve Seal. Glad you're here.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 71 and mostly cloudy. Wind is from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Wind will be from the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 71 and mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Iran says it closed the Strait of Hormuz again today after Israel continued to attack the Hezbollah militant group in Lebanon. The closure casts doubt on whether the ceasefire will hold, as NPR's Greg Myrie explains.
There was sporadic fire today, with Arab Gulf countries in particular reporting some attacks from Iran. Iran said it was hit at least once. But broadly speaking, the Iran war is definitely going quiet. However, Israel is still heavily bombing Hezbollah in Lebanon. Israel says that conflict is not part of the ceasefire. Now, Iran says it is. The U.S. is siding with Israel. But the fighting in Lebanon could be a problem if it carries on.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. Stock prices rose and crude oil prices fell today, but the Iran war will affect energy supplies and prices for some time, as NPR's Scott Horsley explains.
You know, the war left a sizable hole in the global energy market, and it's not going to be filled overnight. When shipping traffic was halted in the Strait of Hormuz, some of the Gulf oil producers didn't have any place to store their oil, so they had to idle some oil fields. And John Kilduff, who's an energy analyst at Again Capital, says getting that oil flowing again is not as simple as just turning a valve or flipping a switch.
It's going to take time, which is why, as much as there's a relief here that oil prices are back down below $100 a barrel, they're still far from where they were as we were coming into the new year here.
The Energy Department is predicting oil supplies won't be fully restored until late this year, which means prices are likely to remain elevated.
NPR's Scott Horsley reporting. A group of new accounts on the prediction market Polymarket made highly specific, well-timed bets on whether the U.S. and Iran would reach a ceasefire yesterday, resulting in hundreds of thousands of dollars in profits for those users. At least 50 wallets placed substantial yes bets before Trump announced the two-week ceasefire on social media. Polymarket labeled the ceasefire betting event as disputed due to ongoing tensions, which means some payments are on hold. In Washington state, leaders have declared a statewide drought, Northwest Public Broadcasting's Anna King reports.
Snowpack is declining in the Northwest. That's according to Casey Sixkiller, the director of Washington's Department of Ecology. And it's creating trouble for communities, farmers, and fish. Sixkiller says snowpack droughts will only become more frequent in the future.
The world around us is changing much more rapidly than our infrastructure is prepared to handle. The way in which we've managed water historically can adapt to. And I think that is both the challenge and the opportunity that we have going forward.
Six Killer says despite severe flooding in some areas over the winter, things are drying out across nearly every watershed in Washington. For NPR News, I'm Anna King.
This is NPR. General Motors is recalling more than 270,000 Chevrolet Malibu vehicles in the U.S. because the rear-view camera screen may display a distorted or blank image. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the issue could increase the risk of a crash. The recall includes Chevrolet Malibu vehicles with model years 2023 to 2025. In Los Angeles, Jasveen Sangha, the drug dealer who sold actor Matthew Perry the fatal dose of ketamine that led to his death, was sentenced today. Steve Futterman was at the courthouse.
Before the sentence was announced, the judge heard from Matthew Perry's family. His stepfather, Keith Morrison, described what he called the daily grinding sadness. Prosecutors asked for a 20-year sentence. Defense attorneys asked for time served. The judge ruled that Sangha should serve 15 years in prison. Afterwards, Morrison reacted.
I feel bad for the family of the perpetrator here as well. Nobody won today.
Two more defendants in the case still need to be sentenced, including Matthew Perry's personal assistant, who injected him with the fatal dose. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
A man named Adam Jacobs sometimes surreptitiously recorded more than 10,000 concerts from the 1980s through the early 2000s. A group of devoted volunteers in the U.S. and Europe is methodically cataloging, digitizing, and uploading them one by one. The No Tape Left Behind collection is available online. It's a treasure trove for music lovers, especially for fans of indie and punk rock. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives. This is NPR.
The Dave Sloniker Big Band opening tonight's Jazz in the Night with Dave's composition and arrangement, Dash Cam. I'm Bob McWilliams. This is Kansas Public Radio. Dash Cam had solos from Ido Meshulam on valve trombone and Tom Luer tenor sax. It's a Wednesday night, 9 o'clock hour, and this will be one of our new release spotlight hours as I play two tracks each from four of the best new albums in jazz, including a little bit later on some Brazilian music from the harmonica player and vibraphone player Hendrik Merkens, and we've also got singer April Varner and her new album, along with bassist Corcoran Holt, who we'll hear next. Freedom of Art is the name of this album, and Corcoran Holt, as so many bassists are, hugely influenced by the great Ray Brown, and this is a tune called Ray Ray, featuring special guest on drums Lewis Nash, bassist Corcoran Holt on KPR.